broken sky, traced out by the city lights. My world's a mile high, best seat in the house tonight.
The Jay Garvin's Home and Mortgage Talk Show, Saturdays at 8, Sundays at 11, here on KRDO News Radio 105.5 FM and 1240 AM. Now, here's your host, Jay Garvin's.
This segment is brought to you by Empire Title, Bill McAfee, your best of the best Colorado Springs gold winner.
Give me your eyes for just 1 second. Give me your eyes so I can see everything that I keep missing. Give me your love for humanity. Give me your arms for the brokenhearted, the ones that are far beyond my reach. Give me your heart for the ones forgotten. Give me your eyes so I can see.
Well, welcome, radio listeners and podcasters. This is Jay Garvin's. You've turned into the Home and Mortgage Talk Show, where we talk everything mortgage, everything real estate, and we do dabble into budgeting, retirement, and investments to include real estate investment properties. Now, this month, starting here in March of 2026, I've got an amazing home affordability series that I'm doing. For 4 weeks, I want to talk about home affordability in 2026. 2026 is going to be the year that we transition from high inflation, high cost of living, higher home prices, and higher interest rates and monthly payments. So, as a licensed loan originator, I would love to hear from you. I'm Jay, and I'm your friend. You can call me directly at 719-330-1457. I'm going to be going through six separate points about home affordability today, but I want to help you right now with your next purchase or refinance transaction. I'm with Churchill Mortgage. We are the recognized Dave Ramsey or Ramsey Solutions lender. I've been in this community, the Pikes Peak region, for over 30 years, but 25 of those years I've been originating since I retired from Fort Carson in 2000 as a helicopter crew member, at which time I transitioned from flying a Blackhawk to flying a desk. And now I help you with your purchase and refinance mortgages, and I would love to earn your business. I'm going to go through one of the points that rates have decreased over 2 percentage points since this time in 2022. So that's a big highlight, but I want to let you know that I'm here and I keep the electricity on in the recording studio by you advocating Churchill Mortgage and me personally. Licensed in over a half a dozen states, our home office in Nashville, and this office here, downtown Churchill Mortgage, the Garvin's Group, has been here for over 20 years, and I want to help you in any way, shape, or form. But the specific conversation I'm going to have today with the drum roll, Matt, for our conversation title is Home Affordability 2026, The Trump Effect.
I just want to say hello, thrilled to be back.
See, I want to focus on several fronts. Like I mentioned, we've had a lot of transition since the president and this administration took office 12 months ago. We're starting to see increased wages. We absolutely are starting to see a decrease in inflation. When President Sleepy Joe Biden left office, we had over $3,000 a year of actual increase in expenses for families, or a top inflation during his administration of 9%. Now, that's been settled dramatically down to about a 2.4% inflation, or $1,200 improvement down to just $1,800 over where you were paying things when he took office. But the president does not get credit for what he's done. He gets the record of the inflation remaining. So with all of the different initiatives, from tariffs to the decrease of regulation to DOGE, the Department of Government Efficiency, to all of the other ways that they've improved the consumer sentiment and the functioning of our capitalistic side of the economy, to include wages and employment. Employment has been up dramatically, but government employees on the payroll is down over 350,000 Americans, which literally, not by percent, but by actual employees in the federal government, is at the lowest point since 1966, a year before I was born. So all of these play a part in this strategy, amongst others, with consumer sentiment, wages, standard of living. In that component, you have a very, very important one, and that's home affordability. Now, it's part of protecting the American dream of home ownership. It's a whole separate program and a whole separate radio conversation about what portion of home ownership drives the economy. And the bottom line is that we have a home ownership driven economy, more so than business, more so than consumer consumption, in the action of home ownership, the building of the homes, the delivering of the homes, the purchasing of the homes, the moving in of the homes, the maintaining of the homes, and the yards and the properties, and the exchange of goods that goes back and forth is the largest component of our economy, or in this conversation, owning the American dream. We've always had between 40% home ownership in the country and 70%. I'll mention later we had the highest home ownership percent in the history of the country in about 2006, when the Bush administration made a concerted effort to make home ownership grow substantially. We've usually teetered between 60% and 65% home ownership. We're at about 61% home ownership now. But when we expanded up to like 69, almost 70% home ownership during George W. Bush's campaign, he did so by relaxing the purchase and the lending standards. That's when we got the NINA, no income, no asset loan. That's when we got the option arm loans, where you could do a 15-year amortization, a 30-year amortization, a zero amortization for interest only, or the most popular, a negative amortization. So your mortgage payment was $3,000 a month, but if you reduced any principal reduction, you would then be like at $1,800 a month. Or you could go in a negative amortization and pay only about $700 a month, adding that difference of $800 or so to the balance. And what do you think everybody chose? The negative amortization loan. Then when values catapulted, because loans were removed because they were so damaging to the investors, that's when we had the Great Recession of 2008. President Trump and the Trump effect is taking a different approach.
Is, you know, people have become rich by owning their home. We're going to keep them nice and rich. Is that okay? You know, nobody.
And just some of the approaches I want to talk about today are the efforts that his administration, with hundreds and hundreds of ideas being considered, some of the top six effects on making homes more affordable are what's happening with Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, their bond buying program, and the possibility of doing an initial public offering again, which I'll go through. You have his efforts to get the 50-year mortgage introduced, and that fell on deaf ears. You've got his executive order of making investors and corporations that have in excess of 100 single-family homes, and they convert them into rental properties, an executive order to curtail those corporations from stealing inventory from first-time and move-up and downsize buyers. You have the results of deportations, which is making inventory more available. You have the lower interest rates that I talked about that he has been facilitating in his administration and the Federal Reserve. And then finally, the builder's plan to build 1 million Trump homes. All of these I'm going to talk about the entire hour, so don't go anywhere. It's going to be a very exciting and detailed and great information distributed throughout the show. So call me at 719-330-1457. I'd love to help you with your next purchase or refinance loan, whether that's investment property or a first-time home buyer, or just a cash-out refinance to consolidate your debt. Don't go anywhere. I'll be back after these important messages.
Give me your arms for the brokenhearted, the ones that are far beyond my reach. Give me your heart for the ones forgotten. Give me your eyes so I can see. Give me your eyes, Lord, give me your eyes.
The Jay Garvin's Home and Mortgage Talk Show, Saturdays at 8, Sundays at 11, here on KRDO News Radio, 105.5 FM and 1240 AM. We're back with your home mortgage Jedi, Jay Garvin's.
This segment brought to you by Texas Roadhouse. Legendary food, legendary service, located on 8th Street next to Walmart.
Hey, where's the milk?
Sticking with me, I am Jay. I'm here today all day talking about the home affordability in 2026. Ba-boom! The Trump effect. I like that Village People intro there. You know, if you could imagine me in the studio doing the dance. I have so many pieces of information about what I refer to as the Trump effect. I mentioned before the break that I'm a licensed loan originator, so I'm studying each one of these home affordability components in great detail. Article after article after article. I've read more than 20 articles just on this show alone, compiling that information just for you. And I'm going to go through what Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac have been doing with bond buying programs and a potential IPO, an initial public offering to privatize that GSE, government-sponsored entity again. We've got the almighty 50-year mortgage introduced by Trump and his administration, and I'm going to tell you how that fell on deaf ears and my opinion on that. Then we've got his limited investment executive order for investment corporations to stop buying up single-family homes and stealing the inventory from home buyers in America. I also have numbers and a discussion for deportations for illegal immigrants and how that has removed some of the competition for rentals and houses for additional inventory that's available. And then, of course, the most important, the inevitable lower interest rate talk. And then I'll finish up the show with a builder's plan, over 1 million Trump homes that these national builders are trying to facilitate for you, the home buyer, all the way from using public lands to designating enterprise zones like Trump did in his first 45 administration. But to start this off is Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. I've done several radio shows over the years. Of the 700 shows that I've done at least a half a dozen of them just on Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac and the unique nature of the United States. There's no other country in the world that has GSEs, government-sponsored entities, like Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac and others. There was the VA loan created over 50 years ago. You have the FHA insured loan. All of these are ways that Americans have more access to home ownership than any country in the world. There's not even anybody in the same time zone, let alone zip code, for United States. You have some of this loosely apparent in Israel and in France, but not in Canada, not in Germany, not in Korea, not in China, not in Spain, nowhere in South America, nowhere in Central America, nowhere in Asia. If you buy a house in South Korea, you have to get a five-year commercial loan, the equivalency in United States to a 9% loan that's on a five-year ARM, and you have to resubmit your finances every year upon renewal, exactly like you do if you buy a building for commercial use in United States. That's why I'm not going to do a show on it today, but Google the term Korean money clubs, and that will explain how people go into groups of 10 and 20 people just to afford a home purchase and how much fraud in those circles. Imagine one person being unethical and running away with all the money that people pool as a money club. But the bottom line is that Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are the entities that we were given. And for over 50 years, they functioned fine. But in 2008, if you've seen the movie Too Big to Fail, just like all of the big banks, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac had to be rescued. Now, you wouldn't know this with all the people that are anti-Trump and the Trump derangement syndrome. But prior to 2008, when Congress and George W. the First sat around tables and said everything is going bankrupt as far as lenders and banks because of all of the subprime meltdown, they sat down at the table and did things like, hey, Wells Fargo, you're going to need to absorb this company in order to make it survive. Across the board, you had five viable companies and five or six unviable financial companies, and they had to be absorbed because they were too big to fail. The same thing happened with Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac when they said, hey, we are going to have to infuse hundreds of billions of dollars to keep these entities viable. Well, this is why there is a plan in the Trump administration to do an IPO valuing a portion of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac at about $500 billion. They're saying that it could be valued as high as $1.5 trillion, do an initial public offering to get the public to then buy shares of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, exactly how it was 100% private investors prior to the Great Recession, and recoup some of that money and give it back to the Treasury. So the Treasury is just trying to sell part of its stake in the acquired Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac entities from the 2008 financial crisis. Now, we're not talking about making them all private overnight. We wouldn't do that. They're only talking about 3 to 6% of the value. And everybody from Elizabeth Warren, Senator Pocahontas, is saying that this is criminal and there's no way that we can try to privatize 3 to 6% of the American share in the debacle of rescuing Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, because they could not let it go insolvent for obvious reasons. Over 70% of the lending industry is propped up with Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. Now, a more accessible goal that they've been accomplishing and trying is with the fact that Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are very large and profitable organizations again. They have hundreds of billions of dollars on the books. And the Trump administration has said, hey, let's go ahead and have you buy $200 billion worth of mortgage bonds as part of the administration's latest affordability push. By purchasing these bonds, that will allow the rate of the bond to go down. By forcing the rate of the bond to go down, then the interest rates follow with the mortgage-backed securities and the bond in conjunction with the 10-year Treasury, where Jay Powell has been very reluctant to decrease the prime interest rate and the Fed funds rate because, again, Trump derangement syndrome, where he says his tariffs are out of control and he doesn't want to do that. Inflation is down, employment is up, everything points to a lowered interest rate, not only for homeowners, but also for businesses to invest in everything. And it has successfully helped the interest rate go down. For the first time, I'm talking to you from this microphone for over 4 years since the mid-2022 time range, where a 30-year mortgage at the most competitive rate is at 5.98. The most competitive 15-year mortgage is down to 4.99. Now, what does that mean? That means if you have 50% equity in your home, or you're putting 50% down on a $600,000 house, so you've got a $300,000 mortgage, you have a 780 FICO or a 740 FICO, an A-plus FICO, and you've got good, strong, reportable W-2 pay stub income, you could get a 15-year mortgage at 4.99 or a 30-year mortgage at 5.98. These rates were as high as 7.98 in the summer of 2022. You can see that is an amazing improvement. Now, if this IPO happens, where a portion of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac is put back into the hands of the private sector investors, that's going to give an influx of money into the Treasury. It'll allow us to pay down some of our debt, which adds to consumer sentiment, and then they will be able to buy more bonds and keep the rates for 10, 15, 20, and 30-year fixed mortgages for you and I, the consumer. It is the biggest move that they're talking about so far. And Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac is huge with that. Now, idea number two with the 15-year mortgage I thought was insane. Now, a 50-year mortgage, a 75-year mortgage is what they have in Germany, but they've accepted it and they have a different compounding interest amortization schedule than United States. I've said many times on this radio show, as a licensed loan originator, I'll tell you one of the last legal scams in the United States is the 30-year mortgage. for every $100,000 that you borrow, you pay $323,000 back, or you pay about $223,000 for the $100,000 that you borrowed. If you do a 15-year mortgage on $100,000, you're going to pay back about $178,000. So $78,000 to the bank or $223. That's three times the amount. So a 50-year mortgage is even more insane. But prior to Franklin D. Roosevelt, anything beyond the 15-year mortgage was insane, and he successfully introduced the 30-year mortgage. And now with the watered-down, debt-driven society, 30-year mortgages become the standard. The way that my wife and I have seven houses that we have no mortgages on is we kept our appetite for a large house small, and we did 15-year mortgages, and at 55 years old, I had paid them all off. You can do the same. So the 50-year mortgage fell flat. You should have heard Ramsey Solutions talking about this. I won't get into it, but it was a humoristic conversation, and I'll have the same conversation. 50-year mortgage would basically prove that you're going to rent your house for the first 10 of those 50 years. And seeing that the average American lives in a house anywhere between 5 and 15 years, it was as low as 7 years, I think, and now it's up to like 11 years because of the lack of affordability to move up or move down. The bottom line is that idea fell on deaf ears. The one that I like the most is this executive order where corporations are limited in their Pac-Man. Thank you for that. All of these investors like BlackRock, Blackstone, Zillow, and all the rest in buying all these institutional homes, this executive order from the administration is saying, look it, you have to curtail that. We're going to incentivize you to sell them, to put these houses into the inventory. And logistically, we're talking to agencies, insurance companies, and bond providers that are going to preclude the money and the finance sources of acquiring them. And that, again, is a bold move to stand up against the billion-dollar corporations for the American people. But I believe that's the president in Trump and the administration that we have. In fact, I'll show you here. The executive order says this practice would reduce inventory availability for first-time homeowners. So therefore, the executive order will target the investors that own 100 or more homes, single family, to discontinue further investment. That is a bold move, and we'll still see if that has any operational effect. So don't go anywhere. When I come back, we're going to talk about what deportations have done and what the builder plan has done and more right after this. You're listening to The Jay Garvin Show.
The Jay Garvin's Home and Mortgage Talk Show, Saturdays at 8, Sundays at 11, here on KRDO News Radio 105.5 FM and 1240 AM. We're back. Here's Jay Garvin's.
Housekeeping?
No, he is.
Housekeeping.
Well, thanks for staying with me. I am Jay. I'm more than halfway through the conversation of home affordability in 2026, the Trump effect. We've talked about what Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are doing in conjunction with the administration. By the way, the head of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac now is actually Pulte, the grandson of the founder of Pulte Homes. And you can imagine how the Trump derangement syndrome is putting people's hair on fire, that Trump actually put the grandson of a business owner and a private citizen as opposed to another politician in charge of GSEs, government-sponsored entities, instead of some political partner that is getting reinforced for the contributions they gave to you when you were running for Senate or whatever. But it's just insane. I mean, if you look back to the State of the Union, where over 89% of Americans believe it's pretty logical that you show a driver's license or a birth certificate, voter registration to cast a ballot, where, like in New York with the infamous Mondami, that I'm going to talk more about next week in home affordability in 2026, in order to shovel snow and help the city, you have to show not one, not two, but three forms of identity just to get paid, but you don't have to show anything to vote the next person into the office. That's irony. But with the Trump derangement syndrome, you had literally 80% of the Democrats sitting on their hands when they were asked to stand if they represented the American people first and whether you supported whatever they call the Freedom Act of voter registration. So the same thing applies in this Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac reorganization of buying back $200 billion of bonds, which everybody's up at arms on. But in 2008, it was a regular practice done by the Federal Reserve rather than Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac and the administration, and they called it quantitative easing. But because your name is Trump, it's got to be evil. 50-year mortgage, that fell on flat ears. Executive order to curtail investors from buying single-family homes and turning them into neighborhoods. Literally, subdivisions at a time, meaning they're taking entire neighborhoods, financing them. Instead of putting those houses on the market, they're turning these neighborhoods into rental neighborhoods, and that steals inventory from you and I that want to buy houses. Inventory goes down and prices go up. Very simple. This experiment is being observed midstream, and we don't know how successful it'll be. It's going to take 6 to 12 months to even see any first indication of the needle moving. But illegal immigrants. Very touchy subject in Denver. In fact, it says right here, immigration and illegal immigration deportation has had its effect positively on affordability of housing and inventory. I read this article and it says arguments suggest that deporting undocumented immigrants could improve housing affordability. Arguments for the improved housing affordability. I'm going to go right to reduced public spending because I love it when Denver, our senior neighbor to the north, is lumped in one more time with New York City, Boston, Massachusetts, and others where they've spent significant funds on housing and sheltering migrants, or what they call future Americans, which I call illegal, undocumented criminals. See, by putting someone in a hotel, like they did in New York, and then charging taxpayers for it, and then giving them debit cards, affects the budget and the economy of the city. Now, in Denver, they issued more than 5 million plus cards so these individuals could eat. But also, there was referendums that were pushed and ordinances within Denver that were pushed to force investment property owners to be part of Section 8. And after you force them to be part of Section 8, which is affordable housing, then you open it up to people that aren't documented, that don't even have an ID to get rent, let alone a house, and you just put them in there for free. And then when they devastate the house, the landlord has to do paperwork to a government agency to get them out, let alone fix it. Well, this was a train wreck, because if they didn't have to do this, this would be additional housing for citizens. And this has proved to be so true. Just starting at the rental half, a two-bedroom, two-bath apartment at a low end, not a high rise, the low end of Colorado Springs used to be $1,200 a month. Marshall, if you're listening, I had this long conversation with a half a dozen of my radio listeners that are being forced and bullied by their landlords to pay $1,000, $1,100, $1,200 a month, when even by the FHA standards of rent, a two-bedroom, two-bath in our Pikes Peak region, in our county, just in the last 12 months has went down from $1,200 to under $1,000, about $950 a month. Now, because we are creatures of habit, some individual, and Marshall's justification is understood because not everybody can just easily move, but affordability is down and these current landlords force you to re-sign leases if you're not willing to change, which is a disruption, at your current rental rates as opposed to adjusting like more than 50% of the landlords are in apartments, fourplexes, and so forth, down to $900 because of availability. And that's in the Pikes Peak region. Denver is down even more than 30% in rents since they've been forced to deport. There's over a million, some say 2 million, that have self-deported. Hey, take this $1,000 or $5,000 verify that you're leaving, you're on an airplane, or you're crossing the border, and we'll give you money to leave. But there's more than 2.5 million individuals that have left, and that is a small cry to the 6 million to 20 million that they say are here, but this has had an immediate effect on the rental market. Number two is lowered rental pressure. By the reduction of the population, like I said, in deportations, you alleviate pressure on the housing supply, and that includes rentals, and that includes purchase homes available. Now, there are counter arguments against the deportation, and that is construction labor shortages. Colorado created that problem for ourselves when we went to draconian masking and distancing, primarily in Denver. And there's over 5,000 commercial construction workers that left this state for what I call mask-free states like Nebraska, Kansas, Arkansas, Tennessee. The list goes on. And they never came back. But the economic impact says that these individuals spend money, but when you give them the money to spend, it's basically government spending that's facilitating that. So the big thing that I'm going to focus in the final segment is, what are we looking at in reality in these lower interest rates to make it more affordable? And what are we looking at with this builder's plan to build 1 million Trump homes? This comes in part as well with the president trying to incorporate deregulation. Pikes Peak Regional Building Department is a necessary entity within our county and others, but some of the measures are so draconian that it adds tens of thousands of dollars in the price of the house, then curbing any potential for affordability. We'll address that right after the break. Call me at 719-330-1457. Especially if you're an investment property owner or you're interested, I have a new debt service coverage ratio loan, DSCR loans, bank statement loans. If you have high income but low net reported tax to the IRS, I can help you purchase a home now where you didn't have availability just 5 years ago. 719-330-1457. Call me this hour to help you start your next mortgage.
Fill you up with bones that can never break. Take you to a dark shade of gray. Warm you like a sun that'll never fade. Oh, 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 oh.
The Jake Garvin's Home and Mortgage Talk Show. Saturdays at 8, Sunday at 11. Here on KRDO News Radio, 105.5 FM and 1240 AM. We're back with your home mortgage best friend, Jay Garvin's.
We want to pop you up.
This is power. This is power. This is power. This is power.
Well, thanks for sticking with me. I am Jay Garvin's. You're listening to the last segment of this podcast radio show about home affordability in 2026. This is part one of a four-part series on home affordability. I am talking about the Trump effect today. Next week, I'm going to be talking about home affordability in 2026, the generational effect. Why are millennials and Gen Z so frustrated that they can't access the homeowner market? I'm going to talk about home affordability for those generations. More difficult for baby boomers and people like myself, Gen X, to understand this, but I'm going to be talking about that. But the final segment here, I want to give you the biggest takeaway. Some of Trump's administrative ideas to drive better home affordability may not work, like the 50-year mortgage. But some of them will, and they have worked. It's just nice to have someone in the White House, in the executive branch, that's business-minded and that can think outside of the political box. Because these ideas of what Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac have done, the crazy idea of 50-year mortgages, the executive order for corporations to curtail their purchase of single-family homes, increasing the inventory, illegal deportations has obviously helped, and there's factual data to back that up on home affordability. Obviously, lower interest rates has increased activity dramatically, and I'll cover that in the builder's plan in a second. Things that are not on this sheet, this one's brilliant. if the administration and Congress somehow did a 2-year or a 5-year sunset of capital gains for people who sold investment properties. I have 6 investment properties, and if I didn't have to pay all the taxes for the recapturing of the depreciation, which is a whole nother radio segment, call me at 719-330-1457 if you don't understand the tax-deductible advantages of owning an investment property through your tax-deductible expenses and your depreciation. Just listen to this. If I have nothing more than a $200,000 mortgage, and with that $200,000 mortgage, the IRS allows me to deduct 1/27th of that value every single year. So with a $200,000 mortgage divided by 27, I can write off $7,400 a year from my taxable W-2 income. My self-employed net taxable income for every single house. Now, if you have 5 of those houses, like I do, that means you get to write off $37,000 a year against the profit from those investment properties and any other W-2 income. If they did, at the congressional and the administrative level, a 2-to-5-year sunset on those capital gains, I know for a fact. In fact, I think I'm better than the Trump administration because this would be the biggest one ever. And I'm just a dude that sat in an office behind a desk for 25 years. You would have an influx of millions of houses come available. The only reason they won't do it? 2 words. You guess it. Thank you for that Jeopardy moment there. Folks, it's called tax revenue. And Congress and the federal government doesn't want to give it up. But if you sunset that capital gains for investment property owners, I know for a fact you would have an influx of millions of homes statewide. I think you'd have 100,000 homes just in Colorado because we're such a high private investment property owner state. But I digress. To go back and finish with 2 things, lower interest rates and the 1 million Trump home builders plan, the focus to lower interest rates over the last year has been absolutely phenomenal. Even though Jay Powell and the president, as the chairman of the Federal Reserve, butt heads, the Federal Reserve has lowered prime interest rate over 1%, and that has helped dramatically. I believe with the new chairman of the Federal Reserve that is going to have to go through confirmation, Kevin Walsh, I think his name is, he has the same private sector mindset. And Trump has only himself to blame. He's the one who nominated Jerome Powell.
No!
But that is going to be after May 15th of this year and the confirmation. That is going to be a major improvement. I see rates coming down another 0.25% to 0.5% this year. And then we're going to finally open up for Americans to consolidate some of their unsecured debt, because why would you want to go from a 3% mortgage to a 6% mortgage? But if those mortgages come down to 5% and your unsecured debt is 15 to 20% on credit cards and installment loans, then it makes sense to consolidate everything into a mortgage that has tax deductible interest and other benefits. So the fact of the matter is, in July of 2022, the interest rate in America was 7.98. As of December of 2025, it was 6.22. And as of January 15th of 2026, it was 5.98. So we are making great progress. And by reducing the interest rates and adding new accessible and affordable loan programs that are viable, home purchases and home refinances for debt consolidation, therefore affordability and consumer sentiment, is going up. There is this debt service coverage ratio loan. I'm completing one right now where if you're an investment property owner, Nathan, one of my radio listeners, is doing this right now. If he has a $600,000 house in Morrison, Colorado, and he wants a $200,000 cash out of that house, but he doesn't have the reportable income because he makes high self-employment income but low net reportable income, he can do a debt service coverage ratio loan, which says if you show us the lease and the rent and you can afford that payment and it's within the average monthly calculation for rent in your area, then you can pull out cash and you can do so at a variable affordable rate. So all of these things together here, my friends, I will cover the million Trump homes by builders next week, but this all comes down to the fact that some of these ideas may work, some may not, but this administration is trying. So go grow and prosper. Tell someone close to you that you love them, because that's all that matters in the end. You've been listening to The Jay Garvin Show, and call me at 719-330-1457 so I can help you with your next purchase or refinance mortgage. And remember, tune in next week to The Jay Garvin Show as we continue our home affordability series of 2023.
Everything will be all right.
Don't hand me that. I'm all right, Dad.
KRDO News Radio does not confirm or deny the validity or accuracy of the information contained in this program, and the views expressed do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of the staff or management of KRDO News Radio.